You're listening to Beyond Bourbon Street, an insider's guide to New Orleans. Beyond Bourbon Street is the podcast where we explore the food, music, culture, places, and people that make New Orleans unique. Whether you are planning a trip, living in New Orleans, or simply wanting a taste of the Crescent City from wherever you are, you've come to the right place. And now, your host, Mark Bologna.
Hey y'all, this is Mark. Welcome to episode 171. Today's episode is about things to do right now in New Orleans. These questions get asked a lot in our Facebook group and in other online forums, so I thought I'd give you my thoughts on what to do between Thanksgiving and the start of Carnival as I record this just days after Thanksgiving in 2022. The last show is all about Economy Hall. I interviewed author Fatima Sheikh, who wrote a book called Economy Hall, all about the historic society and its impact on New Orleans. If you've ever wondered why the Jazz Fest tent is called Economy Hall, this is the episode for you. If you missed it, go back and give it a listen. I think you'll enjoy it and you'll learn a lot. I certainly did. Before we jump in, let me talk about the people that make this show possible. First up is Sunset Chasers. Do you need help planning a trip to New Orleans? Mallory and Allison are two New Orleans locals. They're the travel advisors behind Sunset Chasers, and they can help you plan the perfect vacation to New Orleans. Let them help you make those vacation dreams a reality by scheduling a 30-minute consultation call. Beyond Bourbon Street listeners save 15% with code BEYOND15. I used to offer travel planning services, but I had to stop as the podcast grew and as my kids got older and more involved in extracurriculars. And I've been looking for a while for a partner with a similar view of New Orleans, and I think I've found them in Mallory and Allison. Their prices are actually lower than mine were for a similar service, and they're able to offer a wider range of help if you want a done-for-you experience, or even if you want help planning a trip not to New Orleans. Check them out and let me know how it goes. You can find them at sunsetchaserstravelagency.com/call, and I'll put the links to that in the show notes over at beyondbourbonst.com/171. Support also comes from the Historic New Orleans Collection, the city's premier history museum located at 520 Royal Street in the heart of the French Quarter. Check out their online publication called First Draft. It's a combination blog and online exhibition space. It's located at hnoc.org/firstdraft. I think they've done a really great job with it. And when you're in New Orleans, it started on October 20th and it runs through January 22nd, they're putting on an exhibit entitled Spanish New Orleans and the Caribbean. We did an episode about that. It was episode 168 with one of our most entertaining guests ever, Alfred Lemon. And it was all about that experience and that exhibition. They also have a really, really cool exhibition going on right now that is about Notre Dame Cathedral in France, in Paris. And it's a 3D interactive experience. You take a pad, like an iPad, and you are walking around through the cathedral, and it starts with the fire several years ago, and it goes all the way back in time to the origins of the cathedral, and it is updated, I think, every couple days, so that you can even see the updates, the construction that's going on right now in pretty close to real time. It's a pretty fascinating display. So they also have permanent exhibits at the Historic New Orleans Collection. But these two temporary exhibits are really interesting. And as always, everything at the HNOC is free. So you certainly want to check that out. Again, you can listen to episode 168, and then you can go to hnoc.org/visit to plan your trip. Finally, today's episode is sponsored by my Patreon supporters. If you love the podcast, the Facebook group, the work I'm doing, please consider becoming a monthly supporter. You can find out more at patreon.com/beyondbourbonst. We have perks at all levels, and if you join at the $10 level or higher, we'll mention you in an episode. You know, there's some expenses involved with doing the podcast and lots of research. And don't get me wrong, the research is fun, but the bills certainly add up. And being a Patreon is one way, or being a patron is one way you can show your support and help out with that. Another, of course, is to be a patron, to patronize the sponsors and partners that we have. So with that, let's jump into today's topic. The time between Thanksgiving and the start of Carnival is considered a bit of an off-season in New Orleans, but I believe it's a really great time to visit. And if you are a local, it's a great time to get out and explore our city. Today I have a mix of things, some things to do, a couple I'd avoid, and some other lanyap just thrown in. So first up, some things to do. These are in no particular order other than I was brainstorming the other night about either things I really like to do or things that, again, I would recommend if a family member or a friend came in, as well as some things that I want to make sure that my family does in the coming couple weeks. So number one is take part in a Réveillon dinner. Réveillon is a tradition that we've talked about in the past, but in some, there was this Creole tradition that families would go to midnight mass. You know, New Orleans is largely a Catholic community and always has been. Families would go to midnight mass, and then they would come home and they would have these huge dinners called Réveillon dinners that would last until the early hours of, you know, of Christmas Day. And they would just be these tremendous spreads, and it was a big party. So you jump forward, they had kind of faded out by the 1930s or 40s. And then in the 1990s, the French Quarter, I think the French Quarter Tourist Commission, was looking for a way to kind of rejuvenate this time of year. Again, it's a little bit slow. And they started to get restaurants to participate in fixed course menu offerings and promote those offerings. They tried to encourage kind of a look back towards the types of foods that would have been served at a Réveillon dinner at someone's home. So you jump forward to today, and this has been going on for quite a while. In fact, Ian McNulty and I talked about it in depth a couple of years ago on episode 79. Each year, including this year, you can find the list of participating restaurants at holiday.neworleans.com. And again, I'll put a link to that in the show notes. The range this year is $40 to $135. I didn't count how many restaurants, but it's typically three or four dozen that participate. They're kind of all over the place throughout the city. They offer different menus. I know that the $135 menu is a six or seven course tasting menu at Commander's Palace. I know that at least one of the $40 offerings is at a really great place called Alma, A-L-M-A, in the Marigny. It's a Honduran restaurant. I've only been there for breakfast and lunch, but both of them are both breakfast and lunch offerings are terrific. These are dinner offerings. And so you have a whole range. I would say the typical price is about $60 for typically a three, sometimes four course meal. And so there's a great range. It's a really fun way to go check out different restaurants throughout the city. If you're a local and you've never been to a Réveillon, you're missing out. It's sort of like the culinary experience in August where, you know, to kind of drum up business during the heat of the summer, you know, you get those fixed price menus. The advantage this time of year, of course, is the weather is nicer or cooler, but you also get the holiday decorations. So I just can't say enough. It's fun. We're going to one this weekend with some dear friends. I think we're going to Bure, which is a place just off Carrollton Avenue in Riverbend, also an area we've talked about on the show before. But I can't say enough about a Réveillon dinner. They generally run from right after Thanksgiving until New Year's. You do want to call and check, and you know, certainly want to make reservations for them. But again, holiday.neworleans.com, you can kind of scroll through, take a look. There's a lot of good ones. There's a lot of different offerings. And they lay out the menu so you can see what you're getting. So that's something that has become part of our tradition this time of year. We try to go to a couple if we can, and something that I think everyone that's come to the city this time of year should do. And if you're a local, you should definitely do that. Another thing is check out the displays in the hotels, the holiday displays. Places like the Roosevelt Hotel, I think the Monteleone, the Ritz, several of the downtown hotels just have fabulous holiday decorations. You can see a lot of, if you're on Instagram and look up, say, the Roosevelt Hotel, you'll see this kind of archway of white lights. But that's a really fun thing to do, and it's free, right? You just go and wander through. Maybe you stop and have a drink, because some of these, all of these actually have really great bars. The Ritz has this streetcar, almost a life-size streetcar. It's probably probably a half to three quarters the size of an actual streetcar. I think it's made out of gingerbread and in the windows of the streetcar, and it's a 3D object. You know, you can walk around it. I think in the windows of them, It has like famous New Orleanians. They haven't had it for the last couple of years because of COVID, but I know it's back this year. So that's a really neat thing to do. So, you know, just go wander downtown and check out some of the hotels and the displays. And that's a fun thing you can do, you know, whether you're adults and you maybe stop for a drink here or there, or if you have kids and you're looking to explore the city in that way. Another thing that's really unique, I think, to New Orleans or to this part of the world of South Louisiana are the bonfires. And you have kind of two opportunities. So I'm recording this, right, let's see, it's November 30th. So this weekend, and it's usually the first weekend in December. This year, it's on December 3rd. Algiers Point, which is just across the river from the French Quarter, from 4:30 to 8 p.m., they have bonfires. That's really cool because you can see that from the east bank of the river, the French Quarter side, but you can also take the ferry over to Algiers Point and hang out and get to see it. Everything in Algiers Point is every outdoor experience is a really family-friendly experience. They do a great job. This one's no different. If you happen to be listening to this weekend or the end of this week and you are looking for something to do, I would highly recommend going over there on December 3rd. And again, it's always the first weekend in December. The more famous tradition with the bonfires is further along in St. James Parish, further along the Mississippi River in Lutcher and Gramercy. And this is on Christmas Eve. They light dozens of elaborate bonfires that are built by locals, and they're shaped in all kinds of shapes, from just a traditional sort of bonfire triangle to sleighs and reindeer and almost anything you can imagine. And the idea is that these bonfires are lit on Christmas Eve so that Papa Noel can figure out how to get to the city, right? How to get to the people along the Mississippi River, up and down the river, and then certainly into New Orleans. And so the tradition has been for many, many, many decades that they got to light bonfires, right, to show the way. So, you know, how else? If you got kids listening, right, how else are they going to get here, right? It makes sense here. You're coming down the river, it's dark, you need bonfires. So that's what they do. It's a really incredible experience to go see both the unlit bonfires, the shapes that have been built and the craftsmanship that have been put into them, as well as the lighting of these bonfires. Associated with it, and I can't remember if it's that day, there's a gumbo cook-off or a gumbo festival. You kind of have two ways to get there. You know, almost everything that we recommend in New Orleans, you don't need a car for. But if you're going to go to see the bonfires, you either need a car, or a Gray Line tour company offers an experience where they'll pick you up downtown in the French Quarter right along the river and take you out to St. James Parish where you can experience the bonfires. So, you know, in general, I don't love bus tours, but this is one where they are the only offering. You're not going to be able to get an Uber out there and back. So if you have a car, if you've driven into the city, then it's a great thing to do. And parking is not that crazy. I mean, it gets crowded, but it's not that crazy. Or you can take the Gray Line tour option. But if you get a chance and you haven't seen it, the bonfires are just such a kind of quintessential Southern Louisiana experience. I think it's a lot of fun. Again, it's fun for adults and it's certainly fun for kids. And then, you know, you got to hurry back and get those kids in bed so that Papa Noel can visit. This is a good time of year to visit the plantations. We've done several episodes on plantations, but for me, the starting point should be Whitney Plantation. We talked about it in episode 54. It is the only plantation that focuses solely on the lives of the enslaved. And even if you do go to other plantations, I think that it's the most important because of the way they tell the story and kind of setting the lens, the perspective, if you will, on anything you might see at any of the other plantations. The other thing about Whitney is that Oak Alley and Laura and Desherham plantations are all very close by. And we covered, there's about 12 to 14 plantations between New Orleans and Baton Rouge. There's a couple of more just further than that. And some of them are open by appointment. Some of them are open all the time. But nonetheless, we covered all of that in episode 55. So if you wanted to know more about kind of Plantation River Road and the plantations in general, listen to episode 55. But if you want to learn about Whitney, I would start with episode 54. It's a good time to visit the plantations. Kind of changing gears a little bit, this is a great time to go on a tour. I've done episodes and sponsors. I've done episodes and I have sponsors who offer all kinds of tours. But this time of year is a really good time of year to do a tour. You're not going to get the hot weather. This is New Orleans. So 2 days ago it was 80 degrees. Today it's in the 60s. Really cold in New Orleans is 40s and 50s, right? And it gets damp. So it's a little colder than, say, 40 degrees in Minnesota. And yes, I lived in Minnesota for 2 years, so I do know the difference. But it's a good time of year. I have a couple of suggestions. One, it's a great time to go on a kayak tour in the swamps. You might not see alligators, although you're not guaranteed to see alligators anyway, but it's a little cold for the alligators, but it's still a really nice time. You don't have to worry about the mosquitoes. The weather's cooler. You probably don't have to worry about getting a sunburn. I'm biased. She's a sponsor, but she's also been a guest. Jessica Golly at Honey Island Swamp Tours does a fabulous job, both of educating and taking you out in the bayou and pointing out things that you might not otherwise realize. It's a fun tour. Just a really great time. And yes, you know, the kayaking is a little bit of exercise, but it's certainly not difficult. In the city, I love both Two Chicks Walking Tours and NOLA Architecture Tours. They each offer something a little different, and they both have some variety, a couple different tours, cemetery tours, tours in the French Quarter. I know NOLA Architecture Tours was doing a Marigny tour. I'm not sure if they still are. They both offer Garden District tours. Really good. If cocktails are your thing, check out Elizabeth Pierce's Drink and Learn tour in the French Quarter. All of those people mentioned above have been on the podcast. Some of them have been sponsors in the past or now. They all happen to do a great job, and that's why I engage with them. That's why I recommend them. So it's a pretty big variety there of things to do. If you are, I guess I would add a couple to this list. I'd add Jonathan Weiss, as well as Beyond Bourbon Street member and patron, Orion Cooling. Those two tend to focus more on the macabre, I would say. I know Jonathan Weiss does a like a haunted history type tour in the French Quarter, and I think Orion tends to focus on some of that and the ghost sort of aspect of New Orleans and of the French Quarter. So those would be two other options if you're interested in that. It's a good time to go to the Sculpture Garden in City Park. I've mentioned the Sculpture Garden in the past, but again, time of year and temperature and lack of mosquitoes make it particularly a nice time to be there. They have, over the last few years, the Sculpture Garden was, the size was like doubled or maybe tripled. And it's really, as the landscaping and all has matured, it's really become even nicer. It's just really one of the most beautiful spots in the city, in my opinion. So that's worth doing. It does lead me to something that I would not do. And let me preface this by saying, I've been doing the podcast for 7 years. I try really hard to only talk about the things that I recommend. And if I read a book that I don't like, or I go to a restaurant that I don't like, or have an experience that I wouldn't recommend, I tend just not to mention it. But this is one that I have recommended in the past, and I just feel the need to talk about it. And it's Celebration in the Oaks. So it's an annual event in City Park, and it's terrific. You get to walk through the botanical gardens and the various parts in the heart of the park and see the holiday lights. You could take a little mini train ride under the oaks and see the lights. During COVID, they switched it to a drive-through tour, which is what they used to have many, many, many years ago when I was a kid. The problem that I have is that in the last couple of years, from about 2019 to now, the price has gone from $7 to $35 to $40 this year. Now, the difference is this year, the $35 for the walking tour includes rides in what's called the Carousel Gardens Amusement Park. It's an amusement park for kids probably under the age of 14, I would say. My kids are 11 and still enjoy it, but they're probably getting on the edge of it. And at that price, I just don't think it's worth it, especially if you don't have kids. And even if you do have kids, my fear is that it's going to be overrun. And while I do recommend the Carousel Gardens for younger kids, it's a lot of fun. Our kids, again, really love it. I love going there with them. I wouldn't want to be trying to do that in the midst of the light display and the people seeing that. So that is one thing, Celebration of the Oaks, kind of regretfully, I would say, skip it this year. I'm really hoping that they reevaluate the pricing after this year. We'll see what kind of response they get. But from my perspective, to go from $7 a couple years ago to $35 to $40 this year, even with the added things that you get, it just, it's not worth it, in my opinion. So I would not do that. But I would go visit the Sculpture Garden in City Park during the daytime. It's really, it's beautiful. It's a fun thing to do, whether you're an art lover or you just want to get out and enjoy the weather. LunaFete is the next thing on my list. LunaFete this year takes place from December 15th to the 18th. It's a little bit hard to explain, but it's this artistic installation that consists of changing lighting displays that are projected against buildings. It's moved around the city in recent years. This year it's at the convention center right along the riverfront. There's like a pedestrian area, and I'm curious to see what they're going to do with it, because the convention center is sort of one big long rectangle, so it probably makes sense. In past years, one year or for several years, they did it in Lafayette Square against Gallier Hall, which is this old, it was the former city hall. But it's interesting, like you'll look at the building and it'll look like one thing, say like the Acropolis, and then it will morph into something else. And it's really amazing what they do with this light display. It's really high quality, so you can really see a lot of details. It kind of runs on a loop, so I think it's maybe every half hour or hour, and it will run for about 20 minutes. There are typically some interactive things, so sometimes there are like art installations that are light beams that kids and adults can kind of jump on and move it around and that sort of thing, and it's free. So it's a lot of fun. Again, I haven't experienced it. I don't think they've done it at the convention center. I think last year was at the Piazza d'Italia, so it has moved around, but every one that I have been to has been well worth it. Well worth my time. And again, it's a great adult thing. It's outdoors. This is New Orleans. You can carry a drink, so that makes it nice. And if you have kids and you're looking for something to do, it's free. And our kids have always enjoyed doing it. If you're in town on December 21st, check out Caroling in the Square. This is a free event, and it's become one of my family's favorite traditions in recent years. We're lucky in that we have friends that have an apartment that overlooks Jackson Square. But nonetheless, it's a good time. Often, when I talk to people, families spend the day in the French Quarter. They might have a nice lunch or an early dinner, and then they take part in the caroling. There's easily several hundred, if not 1,000 or more people that show up in Jackson Square for it. You walk in, they give you a program with the carols, you light a little candle. My kids' favorite thing is to go around and light other people's candles, because invariably it's a little bit windy. You know, you're right near the river, so the candles go out. But it's a really joyful time. Again, I didn't set out to make a list of things that were mostly free, but as I'm reading through this, so far about half the things are free. It's just a fun evening, you know, with community, whether you go with friends, whether you just go with your family or whomever you're here with, everyone's in a good mood. It's nice. It's really fun. Again, we get to do a lot of things as a New Orleans family, and this has become one of our favorite things. The kids look forward to it, and Marie and I look forward to it. So if you're here on December 21st, don't overlook it. Again, maybe plan on spending the day in the French Quarter. Maybe go check out a couple museums, have some lunch, go to the Historic New Orleans Collection, and then right when the sun goes down, I think it starts at 6 or 7, I forget. But it doesn't last a long time, maybe an hour. well worth doing, one of my favorite events and something you should check out. The Grinch That Stole Christmas, the musical version, is playing at the Sanger Theater from December 13th through the 20th. That's something that's on our list, and I was going to get to that at the end, but that's something the kids and I want to do, and I think Marie as well. The Sanger is a beautiful old theater on Canal Street, right on the edge of the French Quarter. We like the movie The Grinch. We've never seen the theatrical performance, but we're going to go do that. And that's from the 13th through the 20th. So that's a fun thing, I think, to do. I've already mentioned the exhibits at the Historic New Orleans Collection. I'm really excited. Again, the episode I did with Alfred Lemon about the Spanish and Caribbean influence was really great. He was so enthusiastic. Again, I have lots of guests on that are enthusiastic about their topic, but Alfred maybe rises into a class by himself. He was just so excited to talk. If nothing else, listen to the episode. But it's a great exhibit. And I'm intrigued. I have not had a chance to go back because it was opening the day after we did the interview, and they weren't quite ready even then to let me get a sneak preview. But the interactive exhibit about Notre Dame Cathedral in France, I've been lucky enough in my life to go to Notre Dame. I'm really intrigued by this exhibit, and it's kind of a traveling exhibit. It's been in a few places, but I don't think the Historic New Orleans Collection has ever hosted anything like this, so I'm anxious to see it. If you're here on December 31st is the Sugar Bowl. Obviously, we don't know yet who will be playing in it. Sugar Bowl is always a fun time. You still have the Saints playing, and the Saints, unfortunately, are not having a great year. I guess the upside, if there's an upside, is that it's pretty easy to get tickets, which is not always the case, and it's pretty easy to get affordable tickets. The Pelicans, our NBA team, is doing pretty well. Still trying to figure it out, I would say, as they've come back off of injuries, but they play in the Smoothie King Center right next door to the Superdome. So that is a really great thing. We got one team kind of sliding down. We have one team going up, so that's good as a New Orleans sports fan. But you might check out to see if either or both of those teams are in town. And if you're in town for the 31st, then the Sugar Bowl is always a good time. So that's a lot of fun. If you're staying beyond, or if you're coming right at the start of Carnival on January 6th, and we've done numerous episodes about Carnival and Mardi Gras, and I'm sure we'll get our friend Arthur Hardy on soon to do another one. But Carnival, the season starts on January 6th, 12th night. That night, there's a couple of parades. There's Joan of Arc. There's the Funny 40 Fellows, which is a streetcar-based parade. And right after the Funny 40 Fellows is another one on a streetcar called the Funky Uptown Crew. Joan of Arc is down in the French Quarter. But they kick off, those three parades kick off Carnival season. And then we don't have any parades until we get closer to Mardi Gras, which this coming year will be on February 21st. So about 2 weeks prior to that, we start to get Mardi Gras parades proper, if you will, in the sense of more traditional parades. January 6th is also a really big day in my household because it is the day that king cakes are sold once again. To be honest, lately bakeries have been selling king cakes throughout the year, but we have a very steadfast rule in my home, and that is that you only eat king cake during Carnival season, and the children know that. They might sneak a piece if they get one at school or at somebody's house earlier, but they know that as long as they live in Dad's house, they don't get king cake until January 6th. What that also means is we get flooded with king cake starting on January 6th. So if you've never experienced king cake and you're here then, you certainly want to try it. And king cake is traditionally sold through Carnival season, which starts on January 6th and runs through Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras moves. Again, we've done numerous episodes getting into the details of Carnival and Mardi Gras. As I mentioned, this year, Mardi Gras Day is February 21st, which puts it kind of right in the middle to the back end of Carnival season. Sometimes you get a really early Mardi Gras, beginning of February, and so it's really a sprint. But this year's kind of an average, January 6th to... So that's, gosh, you got 6 weeks of king cake. That's plenty of king cake. But that leads me to, if you are coming for any part of Mardi Gras, and by Mardi Gras, I really mean the season in the 2 weeks leading up to Mardi Gras Day. You know, if you're coming during parade season, now is the time to start planning if you haven't already and you're late. But if you're thinking about getting a hotel, or maybe you already have a hotel and you are thinking about places to eat and all of that sort of thing, you need to be making reservations and plans now. So that is something you should certainly be doing, because it's difficult. It's difficult anyway, every Mardi Gras, but now coming out of, or wherever we're at post-COVID, the city's still struggling, particularly in the hospitality business, with hours and staff, and it's gotten harder and harder at any time of year to get a reservation. Places that you didn't need one, or that you could call a week or two before, are now 6 weeks out. Their hours are reduced. You know, they just have fewer slots. I don't think that Mardi Gras is the best time of year to be going out to fancy dinners, but if you are planning on going anywhere that takes reservations, now is the time to make that plan. And also, if you don't have accommodations and you are planning or even thinking of coming, I would, as soon as you're finished listening to this episode, I would get on the phone or get on the internet and start trying to flesh that out. Again, Mardi Gras is kind of not super early, not super late, but February 21st isn't that far away. Again, I told you I'd be all over the place, and I am. Another option that I would recommend is Clou Carré. So this is an escape room. There are numerous, you know, escape rooms have been a craze for a while now. There are numerous ones throughout the New Orleans area. Clou Carré is one in the Central Business District. I happen to be aware of it because our twins just celebrated their 11th birthday, and they wanted to do an escape room. My wife, Marie, picked this one out, and it was terrific, so thanks, Marie. What was really great about Clou Carré, and I know they have two locations, one in Metairie, one in the Central Business District, and this is not a paid promotion at all. I just had a great time. Their themes for each room, and they have three or four rooms, so three or four games you can play. They're all New Orleans-centric. And so we had a bunch of girls. We split them into two rooms, and the group of girls that I got in the room we got was about solving a mystery that had to do with Marie Laveau's grave in St. Louis Cemetery Number 1. And I've done episodes about Marie Laveau and about Madame LaLaurie, and both of them are characters that come into play in the solving of the game room we were in. I was really impressed with the authenticity, even down to the way that they made the room look. Was pretty, the portion that was that looked like Marie Laveau's grave looks like Marie Laveau's grave. So it was really fun. We've done another one that was just kind of a generic game, if you will. But I was really impressed with Clou Carré that they are New Orleans specific in their themes, and at least the one room that I did was very authentic, and I know a little bit about it, having done a lot of research and done some podcasts about those topics, and I thought they really nailed it. So that would be something that would be fun to do. Again, I had a group of 11-year-old kids in the room, and they were able to do pretty well. We got out in time. We needed a couple of clues, but there were other groups there that day that were adults, so I think that's a fun thing for kids or adults if you're going to be in town. If you're a local and you haven't done one of those and you have any interest at all, again, and again, I sound like I'm plugging them. I guess I am, but this is for free, so if anyone from Clou Carré is listening and wants to reach out, great. But I just was so impressed with the way they did it and the way that it looked, and the mom that took the other half of the girls into the other room said similar things. Theirs was set in the French Quarter, and she thought it was really well done. I have often recommended Preservation Hall. I would recommend that, again, as something to do this time of year. Preservation Hall is a lot of fun. If you've been, you have two choices. You can pay ahead of time for a ticket and sit on a bench, or you can kind of first come, first serve, and often have to stand or sit on the floor. Preservation Hall is a lot of fun, but I would tell you it's maybe a little more fun when the weather's cooler than when you're in that small room in July or August. So this is a good time of year. And then the other thing is the streetcar. You know, I think streetcar is way high on my list of things that everyone should do. But again, this time of year, it's, you know, the weather's nice. So it's a little bit cooler to ride the streetcar. Next, these are just some random thoughts, mostly from questions that I've seen either in our Facebook group or on Reddit. Some of you are saying, what is Reddit? Or I can't believe you're on Reddit. But there's a New Orleans Reddit sub or subreddit. And I've just seen a couple questions lately in there or in our group that are kind of like, these questions come up all the time. And I just thought that I would address them. One is live music. If you want to see live music in the city, there are dozens and dozens and dozens of venues. But off the top of my head, I recommend Fritzl's on Bourbon Street. So again, the podcast is obviously called Beyond Bourbon Street, but Fritzl's is one of the places that is absolutely worth going to on Bourbon Street. It's been there, I think, since the 60s. They have live music every day, and it starts in the afternoon, I think. Traditional jazz, typically. It's a good little kind of hole-in-the-wall bar with excellent music. I really like Carrollton Station in Riverbend. For a long time, they didn't have, or their music offerings had dropped off, and lately I have seen I've seen it pick back up. That's a very much a neighborhood bar. It's tiny, but that's a fun place. And again, if you want to be like a local, that's a really great spot for music, and you can get there on the streetcar if you're downtown. I'm jumping all over the place in terms of places because this was just the way that I thought of them as I wrote them down. Bufa's Lounge on Esplanade Avenue, right on the line between the French Quarter and the Marigny. Bufa's is consistently has a great musical lineup. The thing that I also like there is it's a restaurant, and the food's great, it's fine. But because it's a restaurant, you can bring kids. So one of the questions that gets asked a lot is, where can I go hear or see live music and bring kids? Preservation Hall fits that bill, but Bufa's also does. So that's a place to keep in mind. Another place, breweries do. And so formerly Dixie Beer, now Faubourg Brewing, that requires a car or an Uber, but they have music outdoors. So again, now, you know, you're dealing with the elements a little bit. But if you catch a day that's not too cold, I don't know that if they do the music all year round. So that's something you'd have to check. But that's a place that's kid-friendly. But Boof is a restaurant, so because of that, kids can go. And the music is top-notch, and you can go on their website. Again, it's Bufa's Lounge, B-U-F-F-A. Other places, I mentioned Preservation Hall a handful of times. Tipitina's, great. Tipitina's is now owned by the guys that are the band Galactic, and we have certainly seen the frequency of music increase at Tipitina's coming out of COVID now. They're back to pretty close to a regular schedule of live music. It's a quintessential music club that's been there for decades. Great place to see live music. And then another place that I answered a question on Reddit the other day, I was thinking about it, the Bombay Club. So the Bombay Club is connected to the Prince Kantai Hotel in the French Quarter. It's small, it's kind of swanky, cozy. It's the place where you would go to get a mixed drink, a martini, or an old-fashioned. It's not a dive bar, but they have great live music. And the reason I thought about it is that my kid's music teacher at school is Miss Anais St. John, and she performs at the Bombay Club a lot, and she is a fabulous musician. She performs all over the city. The kind of place where you would go, I think of it as sort of an upscale lounge, really good, kind of quaint, intimate live music, piano player, singer, maybe a small band, not crazy loud, certainly not a kid's place, but a perfect spot if you are date night or a staycation or you've just come for a weekend with your spouse or partner or a couple of couples. If you're kicking off an upscale bachelor, bachelorette party, Maybe you're a little older than, 20 years old, and you want to go kind of have a little bit of a sophisticated either nightcap or start to the night. You could do far, far worse than the Bombay Club. Really nice spot, really consistently good music. So again, that's some options for music. There was a question that came up in Reddit, and I just thought it fit here as well, so I'm going to address it. And the person said, I'm coming to New Orleans. In fact, they were coming for a bachelorette party, which, by the way, Sunset Chasers will help you if you are planning a wedding or a bachelor party or a bachelorette party. When we came up with the name Beyond Bourbon Street, it was in part because I wasn't really interested in that market per se, or certainly not the college kids coming and wanting to get drunk on Bourbon Street. Now, obviously, lots of people get married at lots of different ages. I'm sort of talking myself into a circle, right? But I got married at 39. And so the kind of bachelor party that I wanted was very different than at 22. Anyway, the reason I bring all that up is this question came up about this bachelor party. And they were asking, should we eat at the Court of Two Sisters, Brennan's, or Galatoire's? And my answer was, for dinner is what they wanted before they went out to Bourbon Street. And my answer was none of them. Now, first of all, when people ask where should I eat in our own Facebook group, the Beyond Bourbon Street crew, Court of Two Sisters comes up. I get it. I think that the atmosphere is fun. The courtyard is beautiful. The food is average. And for what you're paying, it's not a good value, in my opinion. Brennan's is a terrific place to go for breakfast, or if you want to get bananas Foster, you can. In fact, as long as there's two of you, you can sit at the bar and get bananas Foster and a brandy milk punch and have a great time. It's not the place I would pick for dinner, and it's certainly not the place I would pick for dinner if I were looking for a base to then go out and drink, because you're just not going to get a ton of food. It doesn't make sense to me. And their third choice is Galatoire's. Now, what I do love about Galatoire's is it is a party place that also blends kind of old world ambiance. So you got the white tablecloths, the tuxedo clad waiters. New Orleanians love to go, particularly on Fridays. There's kind of a tradition, certainly before holidays, but on a lot of Fridays, New Orleanians like to go and get a table for lunch, and they just keep that table for dinner. And they just stay 5 or 6 hours and kind of start with a boozy lunch, and then a boozy afternoon, and then a boozy dinner. So if I were given the choice of those three for a big party, I would pick Galatoire's. But I think there's so many other places in a similar range. I mean, hell, I wrote a whole book, right, about places I would send you and things I would do. But if you're that person thinking about those three things, those three restaurants, just in that same kind of price range and in the same neighborhood, you have Mr. B's, which longtime listeners know is where I would have my last meal. It would be gumbo, by the way, followed by barbecue shrimp and a dessert, anything they offered me, but creme brulee if it was on the menu that night. And I would be as content as could be. But you have Mr. B's, you have Muriel's, you have Sobu, St. John's, Bayona, Irene's, Arno's. All of those are restaurants that I would pick over the first three, with the possible exception of Galatoire's because of the party atmosphere. So if you want to go, to a nice place and have kind of a raucous party atmosphere, if you can get a table at Galatoire's, I think have at it. But the other places I mentioned have great food consistently, and you're not going to pay any more. So that question came up. That question comes up a lot in our Facebook group, and we get a lot of people kind of give the same answers. And I just thought that, I'd give you some alternatives. Again, I'm going to plug the book again, because the book is full of places that I would recommend as if I were taking you along on my own to accompany me out to dinner. There are, again, I don't know how many places I mentioned in the book, probably 150, 180 out of 1,500 or 1,600 restaurants in the city. So I'll close by saying, here's some things that I want to do with my family in the next few weeks. And most of them I've mentioned. The Historic New Orleans Collection, I want to go see the Notre Dame exhibit. There is the Four Seasons is a relatively new hotel in New Orleans. It's opened in the last year. They have this experience at the top of the hotel called Vue, New Orleans. And it's sort of a 360 degree. You can kind of see the city from 360 degrees. I am curious to go up there and check that out. I think we're going to go see The Grinch This Soul Christmas. I like the Sanger. The kids and I and mom like the movie. And so that seems like a fun outing. And probably go get a nice lunch in the French Quarter. Lunafet, again, that's always a fun thing. I'm always amazed. I don't know how that technology works, that they can project an image on a wall or a building that is so detailed, and to watch it morph into whatever the next image is. I can't get enough of that, and I really enjoy it. And then I mentioned Revillon. Really one of my favorite traditions in the city. Something we do pretty much every year. We usually do a few, or we'll do one as a couple with another couple. We might do one on our own. Marie's mom comes in to visit. They always go to a Revillon dinner. So we probably, as a family, hit somewhere between 2 and 4 each year. Can't say enough. We're going to Bure this weekend. It won't be the only one we do. Take a look. Again, I'll put the links to that in the show notes. If you are in town between Thanksgiving and New Year's and you don't do a Revillon menu, I think you're really missing out. It's just such a good, it's a good value, really at any of the price points. And it's a good opportunity to kind of see what the restaurants can do with the different menus. And again, you have this range from Alma, as I mentioned, this Honduran cafe, all the way to Commander's Palace and many places in between. So check that out. I don't know how many ideas I just gave you, but that's just a sampling of, this is a fun time of year to be here. You get pretty good weather. If you're coming from a cold climate, it's certainly not going to feel cold here. It might feel a little damper than you are used to. You know, we in New Orleans call it cold if it's below 60 degrees, 65 degrees. But if you're coming from Minnesota or the Northeast or the Upper Midwest, you're used to much colder weather. So, you know, it's a good time to come. You don't have to worry about the heat. You don't have to worry about mosquitoes. Some of the outdoor things may be a little bit more pleasant for you. And I think even though it's considered, quote unquote, the off season, there's a ton to do. And, you know, it's a good time to do it. Hotel rates are a little bit more reasonable than they are, you know, around some of the big festivals and around Mardi Gras. So with that, I want to thank you so much for listening. You know, just coming off Thanksgiving was something I thought about as we were relaxing this weekend, just how thankful I am for you, for your time, for your dedication, support, and loyalty to me and to the podcast. For those of you that are patrons, I can't thank you enough. Everyone that's bought the book, I just really appreciate it. This is a lot of work, but it truly is a labor of love. And I've gotten to connect with so many of you over the years that are, you know, through some combination of you listen to the podcast, or you're in the Facebook group, or you are a patron. I've developed some really close friends. This week, I'm going to get to meet another person that listens to the podcast that I haven't met before. So thank you for that. I want to also say thank you to our sponsors. Today, it's the Sunset Chasers, the Historic New Orleans Collection, and our Patreon supporters. But we have a lot of sponsors and partners. We talk about them on the show. We talk about them in the Facebook group. Please patronize them. I turn down a lot of sponsors if they're not the right fit. And so when I promote someone, it's because I believe in them, and I believe that, one, I like their products and services and believe that they're a good fit for you. So please consider supporting them. It's a good time of year. If you're holiday shopping, you can buy my book. You can buy it online at Amazon or any of the big retailers. You can buy it online from NOLA T-Shirt Club of the Month. So NOLATshirtClub.com. They have autographed copies. You can also stop by their store on Magazine Street. Locally, it's in lots of places. I've also autographed all the copies at the OW, which is the Occasional Wife Shop on Magazine Street as well. The other day we went to Octavia Books and signed the copies they had. If you want to purchase a personalized copy directly from me, I'll put a link in the show notes, but the cost is $25 plus shipping. Shipping in the United States is about $3. Obviously, if you live in a different country, whatever the rate is, we'll figure it out and let you know. But I am happy to do that. So again, I'll put a link probably with my email and Venmo information if you want to order a book directly from me and have me personalize it. But you also have these other options if you want a signed copy or if you just want to go the Amazon route. With that, I hope things are going well for you all. I hope you've had a good holiday or start to the holiday season. And I'll hand it over to my daughters to close us out.
New episodes are available every other Wednesday. If you're enjoying the podcast, please share it with someone else who loves New Orleans as much as you do. Until next time, laissez le bon temps rouler.
Thanks for listening to the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast. Find us anytime at beyondbourbonst.com.